Okay, this is Vesta Farber. Just one moment. This is Vesta Farber. I'm with the University of Arizona Libraries, and I'm here interviewing for the Coral Way Oral History Project. We are here in Miami. And can you state your name for the record?
Yes, my name is Maria Pinheiro. They call me Tita Pinheiro.
Okay, and are you agreeing to do this interview for the oral history program?
Of course.
Okay, thank you very much. Today is June 21st, and it's about 10:15 in the morning, and we are here in Maria's home. So I wanted to ask you when you started at Coral Way Elementary, and how did you start?
Okay, I start in October the 28th, 1961. I came from Cuba in 1960, so I was working at the hotel, and I heard the news that they were looking for Spanish teachers to be like a bridge to help the English-speaking teachers, because we were receiving students from Cuba, children from Cuba, and we have two flights from Havana, and they were bringing here to Miami the kids. Then we start getting those kids, and because of that, then the bilingual was ready to start.
Okay.
The bilingual program.
And what was your role in the school?
I was helping the orientation teacher. For the first 2 weeks, I didn't know how much was I going to get paid, because they say, we really don't know. Every day we're receiving kids, you know, from Havana, and we don't know exactly how this program is going to be. So then they called the orientation program. That was between 61 and 64, then the bilingual program start, because of the eagerness of our principal, Mr. Joseph Lee Logan. He was very pleased, you know, with us. And then I remember one of the students was very sick, one of those Cuban students was very sick, and he says, Miss Pinheiro, I'm going to write Castro to allow his daddy to come and visit. This child is going to be having a great big operation, a heart operation. And then he was insulted because Fidel Castro never answered. And he said, how come? And I say, well, now you understand. You have to understand why we are here. Then he really understood us. Then that was the beginning of the program.
Wow. Can you tell me when you started, what were you doing in the program?
Anything they want me to do. I was helping the English-speaking teacher as a Cuban aide. They call us Cuban aide, $11 per hour as we start getting. Then
per hour or per day?
Per day. I'm sorry, per day. $18 per day. And then in 2 weeks, they raised us for $1, and it was thrill, you know. So, but it was a great experience. Also, half of the day, I was working in the office, in the counter, doing registration. And, you know, the secretary says, you have to be very patient. And I say, why? She says, because now you're going to see what we are going through. Then I was registering the kids that were coming from Cuba. And then I say, okay, would you like to have your child in the bilingual class? We have all the classes in English the whole day, but we have one class that is called the bilingual program, half a day in Spanish and half a day in English. Then the parents, I mean, immediately says, no, I want my child to learn English. Did you see, I am a doctor, and I'm working in a factory. Say, I'm a lawyer, and I'm working in a factory. So, or washing dishes. So, no, I just want my child. Then we have to borrow students in order to have a full class from another school, another neighbor school that was Southside Elementary. So then it happened that within a year, the students, when we received the result for the SAT, the kids that were in the bilingual classes, they scored much better than the kids that were in the regular English program the whole day. So then here you have the surprise. Then we say, you know, since I was registering, then I say, Mr. Logan, we have enough kids that now we don't need to keep borrowing students from Southside. And he say, no, those parents let us have them here, so we have to open another bilingual room in each grade level.
Oh, so that's how it expanded.
That's how it expanded. First, we have first, second, and third grade. The second year was a success, and then we have two in first grade, two in second grade, two in third grade, and then we start one class in the fourth grade. And we keep like that until the sixth grade, adding one class every year. But let me tell you how the community accept us. Okay, now I'm going to talk about you, our neighbors, you know, our community. The parents, the Jewish community was the one, the number one accepting us. Because, you know, they knew, you know, the families knew, you know, what they went through. And they say, if a person speaks two languages, it's going to be much better than a person that speaks only one language. So that was then, thanks God, immediately, you know, then it was great. The program, then we start getting visitors, you know, from every place. And it was really it was very smooth. The principal, he got very close to us. I remember he invited us for dinner. Mr. Bell was he was coming every Friday. And he says, okay, do you think that this child can be ready to go in the mainstream, to go in a regular class? That was before the bilingual. Then that was the way we start putting kids between in the regular classroom. I'm talking now about, I mean, before 64. That was the, then.
So let me ask you about that, just a moment. So we wanted to know how students were assigned, whether they were supposed to be in the English-speaking group or if they were assigned to be in the Spanish-speaking group.
Well,
is that what you're talking about now?
No. I'm telling you that before the orientation program, I'm talking now about from 1961 to 1964.
Okay.
We have students that are coming from Cuba.
Okay.
So then, as soon as they were able to say and to understand and to communicate, may I go to the bathroom? May I have a drink? I don't feel well. I have a headache. Then we send them to the regular classroom because all the classes, they were getting full. The orientation classes, they were getting full with kids because every day two flights from Havana were arriving. And that's why. So we were able to, then it was the impact, you know, that and Mr. Logan being so close with us, Dr. Rojas, Pauline Rojas, you know, they tried to sell Mr. Logan the program. Okay, this community, would you please allow us to start the program, the bilingual program here? And Mr. Logan, he didn't hesitate. He said yes. So then Elida Perez Reynaldo was the first bilingual Cuban aid. I was the second. Then Chepando. Then Teresa Brito. and then Elia Pico. The orientation teacher was Mrs. Juliette Woods, a lady that came from Michigan. She was a widow, and she came, and she says, I heard about this, that the Cubans are coming, and this, and I like to hear about this type of program, the bilingual. And then she applied to be, you know, a teacher. And Mirta Gonzalez, that was a young, very energetic girl, that parents were Cuban, but Mirta was born, I believe, in Tampa. But Mirta, she was the secretary of Major King High, the major from Miami at that time. Then it's a long, long, I can talk to you 24 hours.
Oh, it's very interesting. Can you tell us once it started, can you tell us what was the ratio of Spanish and English in the classroom once the program began?
When the program began, like a half and half. Or, for example, we were very flexible because if one Spanish parent will come and say, oh, no, because, you know, they have neighbors, you know, and they say, oh, no, my child is in the bilingual program, then immediately we have to accept it. So this is what I'm telling you, that then very in 1 year, because of the result of the FCAT, we didn't need to borrow students from others. So then this is what we start opening more classroom, more bilingual classroom.
Okay, so it was about half and half?
Half and half.
And were some of the subjects always in one language or another?
In both.
In both.
In both. In both. For example, if the teacher, we made the plans, social studies, science, and health. Then, for example, if I didn't have time, then if my teacher was teaching, then I have to reinforce with the writing, with the language. We use, you know, so we were very close. Every day we have...
Every day, you were telling me. Every day, what were you having in terms of... Spanish and English. Yes, it's going.
What is the question? Stop.
Another. Okay.
Every day they have the same doses, the same amount of time for the same subjects. We have a very good... intercom, you know, with the English teacher. We were a team. We used to work like a team. And every day, we have to plan according to. Then we were talking, okay, for example, I will say, you know, this child, I didn't get it, you know, in that. And that was like a reinforce. Then the teacher, but yes, everything was, at the beginning, the problem was the books, that we didn't have the books. At the beginning, we have to prepare more. Then later on, we start getting books.
Do you remember when you were using books or until what year you had?
I don't remember, but Maria Modesta González Pita was a person that was... she started bringing books from Spain. She was a regular teacher in a high school. And then because of that, then we start getting books. But for example, we get one book, and then we make copies, you know.
And before that, what were the curriculum materials? What were they? What did you do?
No, we read the teacher's guide. I used to bring the teacher's guide from the regular English teacher and bring it home and then try to put it, you know, in Spanish and make our own lesson every day. At the beginning, it was very hard. But we were young, we were very energetic, and we have great support of the administration. And also, Paul Bell, he was always, you know, complimenting, oh, you're doing great, and those things, because Mr. Bell, his two girls, they speak Spanish. So
his daughters?
Two daughters, because he was married to, I believe, was a Guatemalan. His first wife was a Latin American girl.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. And also Ralph Robinette. He was a pioneer in the program. And Pauline Rojas. Oh.
Okay. So anything else you want to share about what the day was like for you? What a typical day was like for you in the beginning, in that period from 63 to 68?
A typical day was, for example, when we were receiving compliments of parents that they understood that the child were able to communicate and don't lose, you know, the Spanish. And what helping, you know, parents that says, you know, I have to go to the grocery store and then my child, he's the one that talks, you know. So then that thing, you were receiving a lot of compliments for parents, and then you saw the program flourishing.
Uh-huh, okay. What do you remember about the school community relations? Were there get-togethers with the parents?
Can you
talk about how the community...
The community was great. The community was great. The secretary, Gertrude Swerner, she was a volunteer at the Baptist Church around the corner. And then everybody started bringing clothes and shoes. Okay, what size of shoes? So then Mr. Logan, in the loudspeaker in the morning, he says, okay, we need more shoes, or we need more of this, and that size is the most popular, will you please? So then everybody, you know, were putting the little thing in the for the bilingual. So then this is what the bilingual was really success.
So the community...
The community was open, and whenever we have, you know, parties, then some parents, you know, in another school, you know, they have air condition, and then they say, well, the problem is that here, you know, with the weather, I say, well, the weather. So then in 2 years, we start doing programs together. We were a very close faculty. We start getting, doing programs for the parents to come and see spaghetti dinners, that it was huge. And then in 2 years, we put air conditioning in every classroom.
Huh.
We start by the sixth graders, and then that was like the third year of the program, when the program was more accepted. Then we was like a big family.
Uh-huh.
We have a program that the faculty was in the stage doing the program, acting like the students. One was about Mickey Mouse, and the other one was like a day at Coral Way. So then we have a blackboard. The principal was a custodian. She was sweeping the floor. I was doing like the big child that I was throwing things, you know. So then we did something funny, you know, for the kids to come and encourage the parents. We have bake sale. We have arroz con pollo. You know, everybody, you know, were cooking. And then we start exchanging, you know, the recipes. You know, the community was very eager. Okay, and also, I don't like to say that, but we lost many things, you know, in Cuba, and we just came here with hands empty, but with a title of, with a degree in our pocket, that is the best thing that you can give a child. So then we were very happy that the program was a success.
Can you talk a little bit about, did you have a degree from Cuba?
From Cuba.
And what was your degree?
Pedagogía.
Okay.
Then I have to come here, when I came here, I was afraid that my English was not good at all. Today is not good at all, but it's still, I mean, I can communicate better. But as you see, I was teaching Spanish as a second language. Okay, and also Spanish as a vernacular for them. So then I started working, and then I decided to become a regular teacher in 1970. And let me tell you why. The other teachers, you know, I never heard that person talk in English. She was always talking to me in Spanish. And one day she called me and she says, "Tita, I think that I called the hospital, my mother is at the hospital, and I call and they say, your mother passed away. And then I think that means that they transfer her from one room to the other." Then I say, "Oh my, if she passed and she has a degree, I can study." Then we went to the hospital, and the poor lady, instead of going from one room to the other, the lady died. So then I was so shocked, and I say, no, if this lady went to the university and she had the degree, she then immediately, the following day, I wrote Tallahassee. Then I start studying then to become a regular teacher. That was in 1960 and 70. Then in 1980, I got my master's degree.
So until 1970, you were working as a Cuban aide in Coral Way?
In Coral Way, as in 1961. Till 1970, I was a Cuban aide.
Okay.
Then they changed the title, and they say teacher's aide.
Okay, I understand.
Right.
What do you remember of the interactions among the administrators, the teachers, the students, and the parents?
Great. Of course, we have to be very patient. Because, for example, well, the Spanish parents, they were coming and they say, "Well, I'm going to give you one of the play that we did, a copy of that." My daughter, you know, she has a headache. So then in case that she has a headache, please give an aspirin. And they say, "No, we cannot give aspirin here." And the people, they get mad. "You're telling me that you cannot give?" You know, so then I said, "Well, you know, it's a rule that we have, so you have to have permission, you have to bring, you know, a note, you know, because we cannot." And things like that, "Oh my God, no, I'm going to take my daughter for home for lunch." "No, lunch is going to be here. So long is my daughter is going to be here," you know. It was a kind of new things, but for the kids, immediately, they were, you know, for parents were a little bit more, and then the community really helped, you know, in the beauty salon, you know, because Cuban, you know, we used to, you know, the secretary and the Mr. Logan, he used to go to the barber shop that was the father of, he was an employee of the father. The father of one of the students was an employee, was a barber there. I said, "Oh, no, I want to go because I want to practice Spanish." Then one day I remember that I was sobbing in order to have more money. And I started working at Miami High School. And for a surprise, when I was sitting there teaching and I was a sub for the regular teacher, my secretary, Mrs. Werner, she was one of the students. And I couldn't believe it. Then, because she never told me that she was going to learn Spanish. Because she always say, "I want to understand what you're talking. Please don't talk in Spanish because I don't understand." So then it was a surprise. Then Josefina Sanchez Pando was also the other teacher at Miami High. And then we start laughing. I say, "Please, no. You want?" Then we start just understanding them better. And, you know, Teresita's mother, Teresita Brito's mother, was she was making dresses, you know, for Mr. Logan's wife, and this, and it was like a close family. We got very, very, very close. They invited us for dinner at Thanksgiving because we didn't celebrate Thanksgiving there. And then we invited them for Nochebuena, lechon asado, okay? So how do you cook this and that? I remember then the following year, I have my Thanksgiving at home. And I remember that I blame on Gertrudis because I say, Gertrude, you didn't tell me that I have to pull the plastic from the inside. And it was like a rubber, you know. Oh, you ruined Tita. Come here and have lunch. So then I went there and she gave me half of her turkey. It was a big family.
Wow. How do you feel about the effectiveness of the program in educating all the students?
It was...
At that time,
parents were very involved. And also, the student, the pupil pressure. They knew, the Spanish kids, they knew that if they don't learn the language, English, they weren't working like their parents when they came here that they didn't know. And that was an incentive for both, for Spanish and English-speaking students, in order to motivate them to study and have a better quality life that the parents have.
Okay. And how do you feel about a model that uses two languages to teach children in school?
The earlier, the better. The earlier, the better. One thing that I think that really helped was the songs. The orientation program. I'm going back now to 61. Then the Halloween songs, then the Thanksgiving song, over the river and through the woods, then the holidays, you know, the Christmas, the Hanukkah, all those songs, they were able to, and they were not afraid to make mistakes. And we learned that if you make a mistake, never laugh to the other child, and that was, of course, we smile and we joke, but it was really it was great communication. That's very positive.
It's interesting. We've heard a lot about from the students that they remember the songs in Spanish and in English.
Yes, and also parents. Parents says they can start working. As a third job, you know, with Teresita Brito. Then she went, now I'm talking about, I mean later, she went to work. She was the principal for a community school, and she hired me as a teacher for for adults. And it was so interesting because the kids, they were motivating the parents to come and learn the language. And it was very funny because the homework that I used to put to my kids was to bring me on Monday the Sunday paper with the advertising. Then, for example, if one student would say, I am a carpenter. I'm working at Winn-Dixie in the grocery store. So then I was cutting pieces that says martillo, hammer, but with a picture. I didn't have to put hammer. I didn't have to put martillo. They just have the word hammer and the picture of a martillo. Then the person that was working in the grocery store, they say apple. They have the picture of an apple. And that was great. Then they were exchanging envelopes. And they were so eager that Monday comes for me to give them that. And that was the homework for the people that in Spanish didn't receive the newspaper, But let me tell you that when we borrow kids, and I mentioned you in 64, kids from Southside, for the surprise of me, I have a student from Guatemala and Colombia that they were like, they didn't ask many questions. Oh, well, oh, to study Spanish, okay, fine. You know, they were more, but I think that because those families, they knew that they came here to the States to earn more money, but they were free and they were able to fly to their country anytime they want. But for us, so English was very important for them, of course, but not the necessity for Cubans, because we knew that if we were come here, we couldn't be able to go back. So then the only key for us to open the heart, the door for a better future was to learn the language. The sooner the better. I think that was what it was different from the people from South America and people from Central America, that they knew they were able to go back as soon or whenever they want. But Cubans, no, we have to stay here. So anyhow, we have to learn the language.
Did you think that there was a possibility, or do you think that any of the families from Cuba thought there was a possibility they could go back?
At the beginning, of course, everybody, you know, we were at the beginning thinking that we're going to go back, you know, we were very positive, you know, thinking that we have to do this, and then if we go back, then. But at the beginning, we thought that we were going to go back, and look, what year are we now, and we're still here.
Yes. So this is the last question. What did you enjoy most, and what did you enjoy, or what was the least favorite of your experiences at Coral Way? What did you enjoy the most about being at Coral Way in the bilingual program, and what was the least attractive or beneficial experience that you had?
Well, let me be honest with you. The list is that at the end of the day, we were exhausted because we have to plan and we have to make everything, you know, from scratch, because we didn't have the material. That was the thing that was really a burden for us. And also, for example, if you have a bilingual class, you have two sets of parents. And in open house, I mean, you didn't have time to talk to everybody. And that was the thing that I was like a minus, because of the hard work. And so then this is what I think, that to become, in being in a bilingual class, you have to love the program. That's the thing. To say bilingual is great. And then try to apply, and maybe the headaches you have, I say, well, I really like, and this I'm doing that because I like. And the most is the reward. When you go, for example, to the hospital and you see, oh, you were the one that told me that my handwriting was very poor, and look, I'm a doctor. And I say, well, okay, you know, the doctor, they don't. So then I remember also, for example, being in a restaurant and looking, you know, for a child and said, just with his dress, you know, like a policeman. And then, because I always, you know, used to say, to ask them, what would you like to be when you grow up? You know, then to see, you know, the future, you know, and to see that they really, because they became bilingual, they able to have a better job and succeed. That was really, it was very hard, but we have a big prize.
Thank you so much for the interview today. Thank you so much, Maria.
Well, it's a pleasure. Any